I thank God for how he's worked. And, you know, it's just about, it really is hard to get more biblical of a church service than to come and sing praises to God and folks to start testifying. Yeah. And I love it. I love it. God inhabits the praises of his people. And yes. I've been in some dead services, preacher, and the church was dead and the meeting was dead. And I think most of the people were dead, you know. But somebody went ahead and started just bragging on the Lord. And it's amazing how that will change the atmosphere. And I bless the Lord. But I'm telling you, I'm excited about the way that God is moving tonight. And I thank him for it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. And just ask God for his direction as we prepare to take a text tonight. After give you a short update. And please pray with us that God would help us to be just exactly where he would have us. Father, we do love you. And Lord, I ask you to please, Lord, forgive me where I've failed you. Lord, I love you. I appreciate you so very much. Dying on Calvary to pay my sin debt. Being wounded for my transgressions. And Lord, I prayed this evening that you'd help me, Lord, to be a clean vessel, sanctified, set apart, and meet for your use. Lord, I pray that everything that's said this evening would be to the praise and the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd order our steps in your word. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be a help to your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And we'll give you, dear Father, all the glory. To give you a little bit of an update, we've just seen over the past year, we've seen the Lord just been so faithful in the way that God's worked in a special way. I won't take a lot of time tonight, but I want to share a response that we received over the past couple months from the radio broadcast. And it seemed like through the year, last year into this year, almost on a daily basis going into springtime, we have been receiving calls from Jewish folks in that New York City area and just so many folks listening to the radio program. And we stand amazed at what God has done to supply the funds to be on these radio stations going into Israel, going into really the largest Jewish populated cities in the world. And we just give God the glory for that, every bit of it. But we got a call a little while back from a dear Jewish lady in California, and she had picked up the broadcast on one of the stations out in California that carry the broadcast. And she called in and talked to Brother David Fullerton. He helps answer the phones for us there at the mission when he's able to. And Sister Dixie helps with that too. And we thank the Lord for their faithfulness. Brother David picked up the phone there. And she said, you know, she said, I just heard your broadcast. And she said, I heard you offering a Hebrew English New Testament. And she said, I just wanted to let you know that about a year ago, a friend of mine began to witness to me with that New Testament that you folks print. And she said, I've grown up in a synagogue all my life. She said, I was raised in Judaism. She said, I've been associated with our religion ever since I was a small child. She said, I don't miss anything as far as functions go as with our congregation. And a lot of more liberal leaning folks in Judaism, you know, they're a lot like a lot of liberal leaning Christians, so to speak. You know, they'll pop in every once in a while. But she said, I'm not that way. She said, every single Shabbat, every single Sabbath day, I've been there in the synagogue. And she said, I've just invested my whole life in it. And she said, to the point where when our previous rabbi left, she said, I was actually selected to be on the rabbinical committee that would select the next rabbi. And she said, I've been, the synagogue's all I've known. She said, my friend started witnessing to me out of your out of the Bible, that Hebrew English New Testament. And she said, I'll tell you this. She said, I got angry. She said, I really got mad. And she said, I didn't get mad at my friend. She said, I got mad at my rabbi. She said, I got mad at my synagogue. And Brother Chris, she said, I got so angry. She said, if I would have just popped into the synagogue every once in a while, she said, I wouldn't have been so mad. She said, but I have sat in that pew week after week after week, and I've never heard one messianic prophecy mentioned. Not one. Not one. And she said, even if you don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, okay, but how dare you purposely hide prophecies about my Messiah? She said, how could it be that I would sit there all of those years and never one time hear Psalms 22? Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9. She said, I got so mad. She said, but the more that my friend began to witness to me and begin to go through the scriptures and speak to me, she said, really that the anger began to subside. And she said, it was really replaced with a deep concern over the salvation of my own soul. She said, I realized that there was no atonement for my soul.
That's right.
And she said, I'm just calling you basically in so many words. She said, I'm just basically calling to tell you today, telling Brother David this on the phone. She said, I just wanted to tell you that a year ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as the payment for my sins. Amen. I got saved a year ago by the grace of God. And she said, now my friend led me to the Lord Jesus. She said, but she wouldn't give me her New Testament. And she said, I heard you offer them free to anyone of Jewish descent on the radio broadcast. And she said, I was just wondering if you would send me another one of those Bibles. And she said, honestly, if you'll send me a couple of them. She said, I got some Jewish family members, some friends. She said, I want to send them to. And by the grace of God, we were able to put those there. David, we got those sent out to her, and she's already passed one on to her sister and witnessing to her. And I'm glad that the gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I want to share that with you. To God be all the glory. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your support. And thank you for what God has allowed you all to invest in. And do pray for the radio ministry. Pray for the Bible project in the process of trying to finish the Hebrew-Russian Bible project right now. And we're getting close. We've seen the Lord do some special things. Almost $36,000 has been given over the past couple months so we can go ahead and reprint the Hebrew-Russian New Testaments. And there's a lot of reception right now, a lot of open doors along the Polish-Ukrainian border in parts of our country up there on the south side of New York City. There's almost 200,000 Ukrainian-Russian Jews live up there, and many of them are very elderly, but very receptive to the gospel. And so it's been encouraging to see God do a work, but we are, for all intents and purposes, we are out of those Bibles, and we're asking the Lord to help us to reprint those. And we're shooting to raise $75,000, and if we can do that, we can get the cost of those Bibles down significantly to where we can print 10,000 New Testaments, $75,000. We'll get the price of those Bibles down to about $7.50 a piece. And so not quite halfway there, but we're getting real close. And I actually got word of a church over in Missouri that just voted, and they're sending an offering in. So we may be at halfway right now, and so when that comes in. And so please keep that in prayer. And it's God's work, and God's able to pay for His work. And if anyone was to rely on us to take care of that, it would have all fallen apart and failed a long time ago. But God is able to take care of His work. And so do pray that the Lord's will would be done. And I tell you, it seems like the testimonies tonight, the singing, and the way that God's blessed us, it's all been about the gospel. And the gospel of Christ is why we're here tonight. It's why we're saved, why we're on our way to heaven. And I just want to say I'm thankful for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And there's nothing like coming to that place when you enter into that rest that the Lord Jesus Christ offers all those that will turn to Him in faith and repentance. And I thank God for rest. Oh, I thank God for rest. I thank the Lord for the wonderful, wonderful gift of peace. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and to try to preach without God's help would be vanity. It would truly be vain. And I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to know the mind of the Lord. There's been a thought that I've had on my heart since this morning. I've been thinking about it through the day, tried to steady a little bit. And I tell you, to those of us that are called of God to preach this evening, it is easier to steady than it ever has been in any time in history. We have more tools at our fingertips to steady and to use in study. I mean, there are multiple books, there are study references, there's commentaries, on our just little tablet devices, our computers. And you know what's amazing though, Brother Nichols, still many of us find ourselves not studying like we ought to study. But with the Lord's help, the Lord's allowed us to study today and do some of that in the midst of the other things that God's let us be involved in. And I've been looking and praying. And so if the Lord will help us, we'll take our text here. And I tell you, if this is not the Lord's will, I do trust and hope and pray that He'll show us real quick. And you bear with us, and we'll do our best to change gears if this isn't where God would have us to be this evening. But I do thank the Lord so very much that He's given us His Word. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks meeting tonight, and they just have a portion of the Word of God. They don't even have the full thing. They don't even have all 66 books of the Bible, not because they don't want it, not because they don't believe it, but because they don't have it in either their language, or they live in a part of the world that is very scarce for the Word of God. And we have the Word of God. And so I want to thank the Lord for that. God help us to read it. Amen. And God help us not just to be hearers of the Word, but to be doers also, And so we see here in the Word of God. And I tell you, preacher, I'll just tell you, I am just sitting over there thinking. I was thinking, and I said, Lord, if you want me to preach something different tonight, I want to follow you. I want to be sensitive to you. So let's go ahead and take our text here in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. And we'll begin reading here in verse 17. We'll read down a little bit. And for those of us that need to get caught up on our Bible reading, this will help us. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand for the reverence, the reading of the Word of God tonight. And I don't say that disrespectfully. I know we're busy. And honestly, you get out there trying to, especially on the work week, the door knocking week, you're trying to find every area you can to catch up on your Bible reading. So Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. Acts chapter 20, down here in the 17th verse. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. You can go ahead and be seated this evening. Father, we do ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, that according, oh Father, to your mercy, God, that you would grant a special touch and power to preach this evening. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Lord, please help us, Father, to glorify Christ, to edify the saints. And Lord, I pray, God, that your will would be done. In Christ's name, amen and amen. As we look here in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul has called the elders of the churches there in Asia. He's talking to these brethren. He's talking, so to speak, you might even say that he's called somewhat of a pastor's conference. He's called the elders of the church. He's called the leaders of the churches there that God has enabled him and used him to not only ground in the faith, but many of these have been saved because of the preaching of the Apostle Paul and his work and his labor among these saints. And Paul is getting ready to leave. And Paul is kind of, so to speak, giving his last words of exhortation to these brethren, as far as at least face to face. And he's called them together, and Paul is in some way calling them to record. He said, I want you to know that I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He said, but I've showed you, I've taught you publicly and from house to house. And that's a pretty good ministry model. He said, not only have I been preaching publicly, he said, I've been preaching privately too. He said, not only have I been out there on the street corners, not only have I been in the city centers, he said, but I've also been going door to door, house to house. And he said, this is what I've been testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. He said, it don't matter who you are. He said, I've been trying to tell everybody the wonderful grace of God. Then he said, I've been testifying both to the Jews, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Young preachers here, make a quick note in the side margin of your Bible if you do that. And just note this very briefly and we'll move on. Repentance and faith are not the same thing. Just for those that get hung up on that question. If they were, Paul would have just put them together, but he didn't. He said, I've testified both to the Jews and the Greek repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation will never take place in the heart of a sinner until they are willing to turn from their sin and turn towards God and put their faith in the finished work of Calvary, in the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God, a brokenness of their offense towards a thrice holy God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul said. He said, now behold, he said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. And he said, not knowing the things which shall befall me there. You talk about a man who's sold out and given his life to God. He said, really, I don't know anything that's going to really happen except for this one thing, save in verse 23, that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, when God lets us go into a new area and try to work and try to reach sinners, I mean, there's a lot of expectation. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of anticipation about what God is going to do. Paul don't have any of that. He said, listen, he said, I don't know anything that's going to happen except this. I'm going to get locked up. I'm going to go to jail. It's going to be bad. And whatever's going to happen over there, I know I'm never coming back here. And the Apostle Paul knows that it is not going to be an easy ride in Jerusalem. You know, there's some debate on whether he should have went or not. We're not talking about that tonight. But we are looking at the Word of God. And he was pressed in the Spirit to go. And he knew that it was not going to be easy. But Paul said, here's why I'm going. He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself. Paul had already got to the place. He said, it don't matter whether I live or die. He said, it really don't matter. He said, here's what matters. So that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel. Oh, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, you know, all that really matters is that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received. He said, I just want to finish right. I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to finish well. I want to bring honor to my Savior. I want to finish the ministry that God's given me to finish. And basically, we're working our way down here to verse 28. If God will help us, this will be our text verse tonight. Briefly, we'll look at a couple things and we'll be done. But what Paul the Apostle is telling these dear Christians in Asia, what he's testifying to these brethren, he's basically telling them, I'm leaving. I'm going away. God's calling me on. I'm moving forward. I'm not looking back. You're not going to see me again. I'm leaving, but there's some wolves and they're coming. I've labored and I've poured my life into you. I've done everything I can to preach the gospel without failure, without fear, without reserve. I've held back nothing. I've done everything God has told me to do. I've preached my heart out. I've preached the gospel. I've labored and I've given you everything I have to give. And now I have to go. But I'm telling you right now that there's some trouble coming. There's some troublers coming. He said in verse 29, "For I know that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And so under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Apostle Paul begins to give this one verse of admonition to these men of God, to these saints of God, about how to keep the wolves out. This is what he said. He said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." We see an admonition received in this first part of this verse. Now, you know, Paul is, in the context of this scripture, he's talking to the elders of the churches. You would really think that as Paul is speaking to those that are in an elevated position, a place of authority, a place of leadership, that the first thing, the first warning that Paul, under God's inspiration, would give would be, you know, take heed to this avenue or this avenue, or you better close up things over here, you better watch this. But no, Paul said, wait a second, there's wolves coming, and I want you to guard yourself. Yeah. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Now, in the context of the scripture, I'll tell you a portion of my heart in this passage that God is just, when I read this verse, the Lord just burned into my heart. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." The flock which God hath made you overseers. We understand the context of this scripture. We understand clearly that Paul is speaking to these pastors. I believe tonight we would not be doing any disservice or disregard to the Word of God by making an application. We understand the context. But I believe biblically tonight that we can make an application, a solid biblical foundation, that although Brother Nichols, the pastor here in Greenfield, and there's some evangelists and there's some missionaries in the service tonight, and God has given them ministries, but I would venture to say, and without any reservation or without any doubt, that we really do have some overseers here tonight. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Samuel? Well, he said, "Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath given you, hath made you to be overseers." Overseers. To be an overseer just simply means to be a superintendent. Just means to be someone who's in a place of leadership. Someone who's watching over a group of people or set of a process and keeping things in line. Now, you say, I don't know, I'm still not quite sure where you're going. Maybe the Lord will help us to look at it this way. All right, fellas, anyone here that is, any of you men that are married and have a family, whether you have children or not, but if you're married, if you're the head of your household, just stand up tonight. Please, if you would, just stand up. Remain standing here for a minute. If you are a man and you're married to a woman, hey man, it's hate that you have to clarify that in the day we're living. Yeah. Fellas, you may have to turn your head a little bit to look back at your families, or you may be looking down the side of a pew tonight. Most of you are not very far from a flock. That God, that the Holy Ghost hath made you, made me to be an overseer.
That's good, brother. That's good.
So, some of the ladies here tonight, you might say, well, boy, I'm glad you're preaching to my husband. But ladies, listen. Now, in Proverbs chapter 6, God made it really clear. Solomon's given instruction to his sons, and he said, "Forget not the commandments of thy father, and take heed unto the law of thy mother." See, the dad, the husband of the home, he comes up with the commandments, but you better mark it down. Mama's the one who makes it a law. When daddy sticks the keys in the truck and drives off and heads off to work, it's up to mama now to take them commandments and to make it a law. Listen, you can go through Paul. I mean, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, laid out God's plan for the headship in the church and headship in the home. And God does have an order of authority.
Amen.
Mamas, you want to find the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you to be an overseer. Turn your head, look down to either side of the pew. Y'all can be seated tonight. Sometimes it's easy just to look at folks and say, well, I sure am glad that my pastor is the over... And he is. Brother Nichols is sitting up here on the pulpit tonight. And Pastor, we're both looking at the flock collectively that the Holy Ghost has made you to be an overseer of. Maybe if God will help us tonight to bring it down on a little bit more of a personal level, majority of us tonight, we have a flock as well. Quite a bit smaller. Oh, but dear friend, God said there's wolves coming. There's grievous wolves coming. And the first admonition that God wants these leaders to comprehend is simply this: take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. God help us tonight to take heed to ourselves. To take heed just simply means to hold the mind, to pay attention, to be cautious, to apply oneself, to beware, to have regard. God help us to pay attention in these days we're living. God help us to wake up. God help us not to go to sleep on the job. I'm preaching to Samuel Free tonight. If I'm preaching to anybody, I'm telling you, dear friend, it is easy in the day we're living to let things slip by our homes and into our families that have no place. And God help us today to take heed. God help us to take, you know where it starts? Take heed to yourself. Sometimes we can be so worried about everything else, we forget. We got to guard our own heart. Those of us that are called to preach tonight, while we're trying to warn everyone else of impending danger, of falling and into sin, and trying to warn sinners to escape from the wrath of God, God help us to take heed to ourselves. And Paul said, take heed to yourself. We see an admonition that God is giving to these men. Take heed to yourselves. Mamas, better take heed to yourself. Concerned about your children turning out right for God. Concerned about raising a godly family. You better take heed to yourself and the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you to be an overseer. You think about that. That responsibility of being an overseer. Being a guardian. Being a watchman. We better be careful about the things we let our kids watch. We better be careful about the things we watch. Hey, friend, listen, we better be careful about the things we let our kids listen to. We better be careful about the things we listen to.
That's right.
Oh, my. Now, listen, I understand. I love talk radio. I love conservative talk radio. I enjoy it. And I'll just be honest with you. I haven't listened to a whole lot of it. But in the past year or two, it's been just depressing. I'll tell you this, though, friend. You'll be hard-pressed. Fellas, listen, I mean, I understand we all got, you know, most of us here probably got to drive home from work and got rush hour and traffic and you're sitting in a car. You'll be hard-pressed to find a conservative talk show host that don't use swear words and cuss words and take God's name in vain.
That's right.
Just telling you where we're at. You say, but he's contending for a conservative. I don't care what he's doing. He's cussing and swearing.
Yes.
Is he not? God help us take heed to ourselves. I mean, if you got to cut the radio off if your kids are in the car. You say, well, yeah, I mean, I like old so-and-so, but we don't listen to him when the kids are traveling, you know, with us. Better be careful. I better be careful.
Amen.
Oh, but I understand. I mean, you know, I'm an adult, and I know those words aren't good. I can just kind of, I have a way of tuning it out, preacher. Yeah, you do. Sure you do. Sure you do. Dear friend, eyes and the ears are the gateway to the soul. And what we're feeding our ears, what we're feeding our eyes, it is affecting our walk with God. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, go try to go witness to someone, and I'm telling you, dear friend, every ungodly thing that's ever come in intentionally or unintentionally, you can mark it down. The adversary is going to run it through your mind trying to tell somebody about Jesus. We better take heed to ourselves. We better take heed to ourselves. Not only is it take heed to yourselves, but unto all the flock. Don't leave anybody out now. Oh my, all the flock. all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. So not only do we see an admonition received, but we see authority confirmed. We see that it's God the Holy Ghost that made them an overseer. We see the authority laid out. Brother Nichols is not just pastor here. If you think that Brother Nichols is simply pastoring Victory Baptist Church simply because you voted him in however many years ago it was, you're very, very mistaken. Now you all did vote him in. You all did pray about it. But dear friend, you better mark it down. The place of authority that the pastor stands behind in the house of God. He's not there just because he put himself there or because you put him there. He's there because the Holy Ghost has made him an overseer. This is not just a political appointment of the households of the church. This is a God-appointed position. This is a God-appointed pulpit. And the Holy Ghost of God has made your pastor the overseer. And when he gives counsel and advice and preaches the Word of God, you better pay attention. Now, I don't think there's any problems. The preacher hadn't told me if there is, and I hope there's not. I don't sense there'd be any problems, but Paul wasn't dealing with a current problem. He was dealing with a future problem. He said, fellas, listen, there ain't no problems right now. He said, but there's going to be. Take heed to yourselves. God help us to realize that there is authority confirmed. Ladies, when your husband comes to you and says, you know, honey, I think we really ought to cut this out. I think we ought to quit going here, or doing this, or watching this. I think we ought to get rid of this book, and I think we ought to get rid of these things. God help it. God help you. If you bow up and get mad, get angry. If your husband's trying to walk closer to God, you're in a sorry condition to get mad at the man that God has placed over your family for trying to walk closer to God. You better mark it down. There's a lot of ladies wish their husband was, just halfway interested in the things of God.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Oh, my. And don't forget this. I'm not just saying this. People come out, oh, you're just a male chauvinist. Listen, God has set the order of the home. We can either do it God's way. Brother Chris says this quite a bit, and it's more applicable right now than it ever has been. Quoting that sticker down at the printing ministry you saw those years ago, it's either back to the Bible or it's back to the jungle. And dear friend, that's the truth for today. We can either do it God's way, or you can just go ahead and you can just forget any normalcy, any peace, any harmony, any joy, any victory. You can forget it. We can do it God's way. Or we can just forget about having that joy and victory that God's given to us. And God set the order in the home. I'm not saying that as husbands were to lord. A pastor's not supposed to lord it over God's inheritance. Husband's not supposed to lord that position of authority. Dear friend, that position of leadership, it's something that not only we have to guard ourselves, take heed to ourselves, but we got to remember God. Men, God has put us in this place of authority.
Yes, sir.
Mamas, God's put you in the place of authority.
That's right.
Over them children.
Yes, brother.
Husband's the head of that home. Christ is the head of the church. But mamas, listen. Your responsibility, taking those commands. Hopefully you do have a godly environment, a husband that loves the Lord, but taking those commands. Go back and read Proverbs chapter 6. Turning that into the law of the home. Mama's supposed to be a keeper at home. That's what the Word of God tells us. To be a keeper at home. To guide the home. Taking that God-given authority, those God-given priorities, and applying them in the family. Take heed unto all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To feed the church of God, in the context of this scripture, these pastors are commissioned not to beat the church, not to browbeat them, and not to... Now, there's times you got to reprove, rebuke, but dear friend, God said, I want you to feed them. I want you to feed them.
Amen.
Feed the church of God. But look right down here at the end. Not only do we see the admonition, only we see God's authority confirmed, but I see an atoning purchase. Yes. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I tell you what will help us, if we can ever remember, that the place and position of authority that God has given us to be overseers. Mama, whether it's over them children, Daddy, whether it's over your home, preachers, whether it's over the ministry that God has called us to labor in. God, help us to remember that this flock of God is God's flock. It's God's ministry. And he said he hath purchased. Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. It's God's church. It's God's family.
Amen.
It's God's house. It's God's people. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm so glad tonight that I have been purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as ye know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 9, 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Revelation 1, 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings, unto him that, what did he do? Loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It took, dear friend, the shedding of blood. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And God help us today as we look at our responsibilities of the church, of the ministry, of our home, of our family, to remember this evening that, dear friend, it's God's purchased possession. They don't belong to us. Our life is not our own. Our church is not our own. Our family is not our own. But it's God's. He purchased it with his own blood. And we better be careful how we handle the things that belong to God. I better be careful. They're his. He bought it. He paid for it. We're not our own. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, your spirit, which is God's. He's purchased it with his own blood. You talk, I feel like that's God's, let that be the theme. Reports we heard from the Lord's Day morning, the songs sung tonight, and the testimonies. I sure am thankful for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful for the precious blood. God, help us to never quit singing songs, preaching messages, giving testimonies about the blood that the Lord Jesus shed on Calvary. You know, there's a message for a lost and a dying world. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I know that's written to the church, but dear friend, listen, if they'll get saved and get born again, they can get cleansed. I'm glad after salvation, God's blood's still just as powerful to cleanse. Amen. Oh, as it is before salvation. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansing power, has redeeming power, has restoring power. I'm thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Blood had to be shed. And I'm glad 2,000 years ago on an old rugged tree, the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace, it was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, have we not? We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him, Jehovah God, hath laid on Jesus Christ. God the Father hath laid on God the Son the iniquity of us all. Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, talking about God the Father, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Dear friend, listen, if God the Father is satisfied with the blood payment of his only begotten Son, you and I ought to be satisfied with it tonight. Oh, hallelujah for the blood, the atoning purchase. The blood feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We see down here in closing, Paul gives the warning about the wolves after his departing. He said, also of your own selves shall men rise, speaking perverse things, and draw away many disciples after them. Ain't that amazing? There are going to be folks that are going to enter in. There are going to be wolves, grievous wolves entering in. But Paul said, you better be careful about them ones that are already sitting in the church pew. He said, some of them are already in the midst of you. He said, they're going to be some of your own selves. And he said, men shall rise up speaking perverse things. Everything that carries a King James Bible is not necessarily of God. There's a lot of false religions twisting and resting the scriptures today. And look what Paul says back in this last admonition, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember. Watch and remember. That word watch, that's a military term. You know that there was multiple watches in the night. And that matter of watching. We see the Lord Jesus Christ associate it with prayer as he's giving a charge to the disciples. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Apostle Peter told the brethren that were scattered abroad. He said, watch unto prayer. We see God using this word associated a lot of times with prayer, but to watch. We know there's times mentioned in Scripture where there would be a watch set in the night about the time of the third watch, and God would mention the watches in that military term. All this watch is basically, if you just want to simplify it into layman's terms, just simply this. Somebody is willing to sacrifice rest and sacrifice comfort and sacrifice sleep to stand and stay awake so that everyone else inside that city, inside that camp, inside that area, wherever it may be, whether at home or abroad, can rest in peace. Dear friend, as leaders and as overseers and as born again believers, whether your responsibility is great or whether it's seemingly small, we have a responsibility of God to watch, to stay alert, to stay on guard. And you think about that. I wonder how much watching I've done over my family. I wonder how many hours I've spent when everyone else has gone to sleep. Oh God, will you please put a hedge of protection around Isaiah and Gracie, around Luke and Eliza, around Molly. Oh God, will you help them? Father, I pray the Holy Ghost would give me wisdom to know how to pray. Watching unto prayer. You see, the matter of watching is what leads to prayer. Christ told the disciples, what could ye not watch the 1 hour? You see, Bruce Samuel, that's awfully simple. You mean the key to praying is just staying awake? A lot of times that's just simply just about it. Whether it means pouring yourself a cup of coffee at 4 a.m. and walking back and forth. And I mean, you don't have to be kneeling at a bench with your hands folded in order to get a prayer through to heaven. Oh, dear friend, yes, Christ kneeled and prayed, but dear friend, he prayed a lot of other times too. He prayed standing up outside of Lazarus' tomb. He did pray kneeling in the garden, but we find our Savior praying in all different areas. And there's no way that you can watch and pray continually if you're always praying and kneeling every time you pray. Dear friend, the key, first key to praying is just stay awake. And the disciples could not check off box number one. They couldn't do it. Couldn't stay awake. They're heavy with sleep. This is what Paul's telling the saints. He's saying, listen. He said, there's wolves coming from without. There's deceivers that are already in the midst of you. There's already snares that could cause you to pitfall. Now, they haven't showed their head yet. They haven't risen up, but they will. There's attacks from without. There's going to be false doctrine from within. And you must watch and remember. This is what he said, I want you to remember. That by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And this is what he said, and he's closing out now. There'll be a final parting in the next 5-6 verses, and we won't talk about that tonight. We're done. But in verse 32, we see the final conclusion of Paul's heart of his last message to these believers. And he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." Here's why. "Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Paul said, "I'm commending you to the grace of God. I'm commending you to the word of His grace." What did he say to you, brethren? He said, "Just stick with this Bible. You're going to be okay. If you'll take heed to yourself, if you'll keep a watch, if you'll stay alert, if you'll take heed to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you an overseer, if you'll watch into prayer, remember the way I walked with God." He said, "If you'll do those things and just measure it all up by the word of God." He said, "Brethren, it's not going to be easy." And you know, a lot of times, anyone here that's been saved for any amount of time can testify. All the struggles didn't cease when you got saved. Now, I'm telling you, I'm glad that the struggle concerning peace with God, oh, hallelujah, the struggles about eternity, I'm glad God settles that. Don't mean you don't have times of doubt, and you may need to go back and reconfirm what God did in your heart. Let God reconfirm it to you. But dear friend, the striving ceases when someone gets saved. But dear friend, the battle's just beginning. A lot of times folks get saved, they get born again, and they expect it just, they think, you know what, the joy and the peace. My goodness, I'm on fire for God, and it's just going to be an easy trip from here to eternity. And it's not that way. Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, "Brethren," he said, "there's going to be a battle. There's going to be trials. There's going to be false teachers. There's going to be temptations." He said, "But I'm commending you unto the word of God's grace, which is able." Look what it said. "Which is able." The word of God now is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Dear friend, I'm glad God's left us with His word. And if you ever have a doubt, you can try the spirits with the word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. There may, fellas, moms and dads, young adults. Hey, listen, young people. You may say, "Brother Samuel, this message wasn't for me tonight. I ain't an overseer of nothing." I tell you what, friend, don't be angry at the overseers God's put in your life. They're not there to make your life miserable. They're there to protect you from the grievous wolves that are trying to enter in and destroy the flock of God. Thank God for the overseers He's placed in your life. Submit yourselves to them. We can try the spirits with the more sure word of prophecy. And I promise you, friend, there's never a time like the day we're living. You may have a doubt. You may have a question in your heart, brethren, about something. You better try it against the word of God. Yes, sir. Say, "Lord, does this line up?" If you've got a doubt about anything, you better go to your Bible. You better go to your pastor. You better go to that overseer. We're not magnifying men. God's put them there. If you've got a parent that loves God, if you've got a pastor that loves God, and I know you do, you better take your Bible. You better study it out for yourself. You better talk. You better seek counsel. Multitude of counselors, there is safety. But Paul could leave the brethren with a surety of heart, knowing, he said, "I'm commending you to the word of God's grace." Father, I thank you, Lord, you've given us everything we need for the journey. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us everything we need to live in joy and victory in the Lord Jesus Christ between here, whether you call us home or, Lord, we hear the trumpet sound. Father, I pray that you'd help us to take heed to ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take heed to our responsibilities, the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made us an overseer. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to never forget that, Lord, the ministries you've given us, the families you've given us, the life, Lord, you've given us, it's not our own. We've been purchased with your precious blood. Father, I pray you'd help us to live a holy, dedicated life. Lord, that would bring you glory, that we'd be found faithful at your soon return. In Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, have for God.